This podcast covers all things health, your body, your brain, and your well-being. Each week, we'll be joined by doctors, as well as the occasional guest, to talk about the health topics that mean the most to you.
Now, in this podcast, I'll be discussing how to understand the presentation and management of dry skin conditions in different ethnic minority groups. But first of all, let's have a quick overview about dry skin or cirrhosis, an extremely common condition we all see in our surgeries every day and which presents in people of all skin colours and ethnic minority groups. As we know, it typically presents as rough, scaly or flaky skin due to a lack of water in the stratum corneum, the upper layer of the skin. Now, the more severe the skin dryness, the more likely it is that dermatitis will occur, and we know that the body parts most commonly affected here are the face, the cheeks, the hands, the arms, and the legs. And the superficial cracking and the itching and the stinging it causes typically results in its discomfort, and its severity has been linked to multiple factors, including dry climate, cold winters, and excessive showering or bathing. Now, the typical types of dermatitis we all know: eczema, atopic dermatitis, affecting about 1 in 10 adults, 1 in 5 children. And that causes the dry, red, inflamed and itchy patches of skin that we so often see. The differences, though, between its incidence in lighter and darker skin tones isn't particularly well known in the UK, but one American study did suggest that eczema is more common in black children. It's often made worse by things like stress, allergies and skin irritants. And you've also then got contact dermatitis, where you get the nickel or the detergents or some cosmetics that come into contact with the skin, triggering an allergic or irritant reaction. Seborrheic dermatitis, as we know, that occurs when the body reacts to yeast and causes dryness and flaking of the skin, especially in the body creases and on the face. We also mustn't forget that conditions such as psoriasis can also cause significant drying of the skin. Now, when we're talking about skin of colour, I think it's important to remember about the Fitzpatrick skin types classification, which describes skin according to its reaction to sun exposure. So the 6 typical skin types that it mentions: skin type 1 is that skin always burns but never tans. Type 2, it always burns but sometimes tans. Skin type 3, sometimes burns but always tans. 4, never burns and always tans. 5 is moderately pigmented skin, and type 6 is darkly pigmented skin. And skin of colour is typically categorised in the types 3 to 6 category.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Here is a quick word from our sponsor.
We take this few seconds off to inform you, our valued loyal listener, about the best health and fitness podcast shows from the Nespod Studios. Join us as we give you the best of the best health and wellness updates you can rely on for the treatment of chronic health problems. Classic functional medicine back to basics, health tips and special updates from the best doctors in the United States of America. Check out this health and wellness podcast shows. Explore Health Talk Weekly, Healthy Lifestyle Matters, Excellent Health Digest, Healthy and Free Daily, and last but not least, Weekly Health and Fitness Corner. Also, check out Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told fiction podcast, for that real life on the go experience with the 27-year-old golden boy, who made our guest invite number one list. He tells us about his story as it happens in real time and in real life. It's Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told. Go get a load of that happiness, because happiness is healthy as we know it. Join us every week as we continue to provide you the best of health and fitness wellness updates from around the globe. Enjoy the show.
And now, back to our episode.
Now, skin color mainly depends on the presence of melanin, protecting our skin from ultraviolet radiation. And the term skin of colour can be used to describe people with skin tones darker than Caucasian, so typically Asian, African, Hispanic or Latino, or Middle Eastern descent, the Fitzpatrick types 3 to 6. Now, these skin types are more richly pigmented because of the difference in melanin production in them compared to Caucasian skin. Melanin, produced by melanocyte skin cells, although the number of melanocytes present in the skin doesn't vary between people of different skin color, the amount of melanin produced is greater in people with dark skin. And there are two types of melanin, pheomelanin, a yellowy-red pigment, and eumelanin, a black-brown pigment. Now, skin of color has more eumelanin in it than pheomelanin, whereas the reverse is true for Caucasians with lighter skin. Now, this difference in skin coloration, in turn, can cause significant differences in the incidence, presentation, and treatment of different skin conditions. So, for example, increased melanin levels give us a greater degree of ultraviolet protection, resulting in fewer skin cancers. Conversely, the higher pigment levels can mean there's increased skin darkening if skin inflammation or trauma occurs, causing post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, as well as sometimes making it more difficult to recognize the skin erythema and inflammation that occurs with dry skin. We also now know there are differences in skin water loss, water content, ceramide levels, those are the waxy substances that help maintain skin integrity, and skin reactivity between Caucasians and skin of color. Although dry skin may cause similar symptoms among different skin tones, the appearance may make it more difficult to be obviously recognizable. So, for example, in atopic dermatitis, signs such as erythema that is easy to see on light skin can be masked on darker skin and so delay both diagnosis and treatment. Now, this is highlighted by a fact that hospital admissions linked to eczema are up to 6 times higher in people of colour than in people with light skin, a salutary statistic. And in classical atopic dermatitis, itchy, reddened plaques of skin develop on the body's flexor surfaces behind the back of the neck, the elbows and behind the knees that we typically see. But signs and symptoms of variations to this in skin of colour include things like erythema appearing darker or purple compared to simple reddening on lighter skin. Skin dryness can present as fine white flakes in skin of colour. Skin thickening and roughness caused by dry skin is often more pronounced in darker skin. So people of African descent less commonly develop flexural dermatitis, but extensor involvement is often a more prominent feature than in Caucasian skin. Changes to level of pigmentation, both increased and reduced, to areas of dry skin are more common and severe in skin of colour compared to lighter skin. And an increase in scaly plaques around the neck in skin of colour with Asians tend to have more well-demarcated lesions and increased scaling and lichenification when compared to Caucasian skin. Must also be remembered in our clinics that in someone with skin of colour, the skin erythema of psoriasis is more subtle, so psoriatic papules can appear more pink, grey, or dark brown in colour than with people with lighter skin who have psoriasis. So as a result, it can be seen that the common presentations of skin inflammation and scaling and redness that we so often easily see on light skin is less likely to present to us in the same manner, and so may increase our diagnostic difficulties. Now, if the diagnosis of dry skin or dry skin-related conditions is delayed because of skin of colour, then this can cause that condition to worsen without treatment, and in turn lead to increased skin dryness, itching, thickening, and hyperpigmentation. That then can obviously lead on to more aggressive or lengthy treatment being needed than would otherwise have been required. So it's crucial that the main differences in the presentation of dry skin between different skin tones are understood and recognised in order to prevent this occurring. Post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, PIH, is often more of a concern to people of color than the actual dry skin itself, because this can include periorbital hyperpigmentation around the eyes that can cause the appearance of always looking tired. But it's always better to prevent post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation occurring in the first place than by treating it once it occurs, as this type of pigmentation can be slow to resolve even with treatment. Epidermal pigmentation may persist for 6 to 12 months or even longer in some people, and this can cause significant psychological distress because of its impact on self-image and self-esteem, which may in turn trigger anxiety and depression. In addition, people of color who repeatedly rub and scratch areas of dry skin or eczema may develop skin thickening and firm raised bumps on the skin that we typically see as prurigo nodules. Now, when we're treating dry skin and skin of color, emollients remain the cornerstone of treatment. They smooth, rehydrate the skin, they help to prevent dryness, cracking, and inflammation. And when we use them correctly and in the right quantity, very important point, they can also reduce the need for topical steroids. They're associated with fewer visits to the doctor, and there's less prescribing of antibiotics. And the vast majority of people with dry skin conditions see a fairly rapid improvement from using an emollient at least once a day. When you're prescribing an emollient in someone with skin of color, consider the severity of their skin dryness, how easy it is for them to use the proposed emollient, whether you're prescribing sufficient quantity, and also if a topical steroid to reduce skin inflammation may also be required. In addition to a simple emollient use, a daily skincare cleanser routine that doesn't dry the skin should also be advised, as this helps to keep the skin supple and well hydrated, reducing the risk of further dryness and inflammation. Now, over the years in treating dry skin in people with skin of color, I've come across a number of simple consultation hints and tips, which I always like to try and remember, and I thought I'd share some of those with you today on the podcast. So first of all, always remember, in general, to have a heightened awareness of the possibility of dry skin conditions and its consequences during consultations with people of skin of color. Treat dry skin early and optimally with emollients. This is absolutely key in preventing longer-term post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. So reducing skin inflammation is an absolutely key focus of treatment in my view. Always ask the patient if they know how to use their emollients. You may be surprised at the fact that they don't. The liberal use of moisturizers and short, warm rather than hot baths and showers are vital in helping to manage dry skin. And in skin of color, you may not see the classical signs of redness and inflammation that we often typically see in Caucasian skin. So examine the skin under natural light whenever possible and always take an in-depth history. Do reassure the patient that with the right treatment, both dry skin and post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation can be treated. But also remember that chronic dry skin problems are strongly associated with symptoms of anxiety and depression. Always ask someone presenting with dry skin about how they're feeling, and do be prepared to spend time discussing any mental health issues that are raised. Ask them about their normal skincare routine, because many people with dry skin are actually using products that worsen their skin dryness and inflammation, but simply don't realize it. Now, once you've made an accurate diagnosis, in most cases, the management of simple dermatological conditions is exactly the same regardless of skin type. And if emollients in combination with other topical treatments don't control a dry skin condition, then referral to a dermatologist or picking up the phone to them is the sensible next option. So,
this will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.
We have a great show today, but first, take a second to make sure you've subscribed to our show wherever you're listening to podcasts. It's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes. Thanks.
Please take a moment to follow, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.